The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Be our wisdom, O God, when human wisdom falls short. Help us to turn to you, to cast our burdens on you and learn from you. And following your lead, live in this world as people who are gentle and humble of heart. Amen. My son Rowan's middle name is Douglas. It's an unsurprising choice for his middle name when you know that my father and brother are named Douglas. But there's a difference between his middle name and their names, and that difference is the addition of an additional S. Douglas, D-O-U-G-L-A-S-S. Naming him after beloved family members Pop-Pop and Uncle Dodo, but also after someone else as well. The social reformer, abolitionist, orator, writer, and statesman, Frederick Douglass, who embodied in his time the wisdom, courage, and snark to which we hope any of our children would aspire. This weekend, many of you may have seen a video recorded of a portion of Frederick Douglass's famous speech. And in this video, many of the speakers share a middle name with my Rowan. But in their case, it is not a name given of admiration, but of their lineage. The NPR recording released on Friday portrays the descendants of Frederick Douglass reading his famous speech, "What to a Slave is the 4th of July," delivered 168 years ago on this date, July 5th, 1852. In this speech, Douglass acknowledges the celebration of the national holiday, commending the bravery of those who fought for freedom of the nation from the tyranny of oppressive British rule. Many of you are likely more familiar with this history than ever right now, given the release of the musical Hamilton on Disney Plus just 2 days ago. Frederick Douglass celebrates their work, commending how their statesmanship looked beyond the passing moment and stretched away in strength into the distant future, They seized upon eternal principles and set a glorious example. But the freedom and the liberty these founders of the nation achieved, Douglas reminds us, was incomplete. I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us, Douglas argues. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. Douglas spares few words detailing the devastation, the violence, the oppression he has seen and experienced in the murderous traffic of slavery, and speaks with great reproach to the inhumanity of the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, which allowed even those slaves who had escaped to freedom to be hunted for bounty and returned to their masters. And the church? Well, the church doesn't get off easily in the speech either. He says, a religion which favors the rich against the poor, which exalts the proud above the humble, which divides mankind into two classes, tyrants and slaves, which says to the man in chains, stay there, and to the oppressor, oppress on. It is a religion which may be professed and enjoyed by all the robbers and enslavers of mankind. It makes God a respecter of persons, denies his fatherhood of the race, and tramples in the dust the great truth of the brotherhood of man. Douglas saw the churches around him not just passively accepting the realities of their day, but actively participating in the systems of oppression. And he spoke bold words that echo the prophets of the Old Testament, condemning their wrongdoings and pleading with them. As the prophet Isaiah pleaded with Israel, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge for the fatherless, plead for the widow. He encouraged the church to become active participants in the work of abolition as churches in England had done, believing that the church had the power to bring about the abolition of slavery if only she would. So that one day, the liberty and freedom we celebrate on the 4th of July could be enjoyed and celebrated by all. Frederick Douglass did indeed see the end to chattel slavery in his lifetime. In the passage of the 13th Amendment in December 1865. But as he saw in the years until his death in 1895, and as we know today, the work of attaining liberty and justice for all was not accomplished fully with the abolition of the institution of slavery. Though the mechanisms changed, hatred and oppression carried on and continue to this day. Douglass's teenage descendants speak to this fact in their video. But as much as this sobering reality could cause us to spiral into despair, Douglass himself gives us reason to hope. One of the things that I love about Douglass's 4th of July speech is that he acknowledges that on the day he is speaking, the nation we call America is only 76 years old. Though one might consider that a good age for a person, it is, as he writes, a mere speck in the life of a nation, for nations number their years by thousands. According to this fact, Douglas says, you are, even now, only in the beginning of your national career, still lingering in the period of childhood. And he continues, I am glad this is so. There is hope in the thought, and hope is much needed. Even at this point, at 244 years old, our nation is, by the standard of nations, still a child, which means we're still growing, still learning. There are echoes of Jesus' words in the Gospels this morning, in Douglas's words, comparing this generation to children sitting in the marketplace who were given instructions for what to do but did not respond. In the same way, they took no heed of the examples set by John the Baptist and Jesus. And in his prayer, Jesus thanks God for revealing the truth, not to the wise and intelligent who think they have it figured out already, but to the infants, to children who are willing to be taught. Children are so resilient, they say. And a big part of why this is true is because they're not set in their ways, not so certain they understand everything the way adults tend to be. Jesus encourages the same in us. The well-known encouragement that comes at the end of our gospel passage, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, is followed by words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is inviting us to set down the heavy weight of all we think we know, all we think we have to know, and instead take upon us one yoke, a willingness to learn. This is Jesus' teaching to individuals and to generations, to keep learning, to keep growing. There is no doubt that as a nation, we have learned and grown since the day Douglas gave his speech. With freedoms to vote, to marry, to live freely, extended to so many more people than Douglas and his contemporaries could have imagined. But learning from Jesus, our teacher who is gentle and humble of heart, means that we are to strive for that same gentleness and humility, to realize that as much progress as this young nation has made, there's still more we need to do. With gentleness and humility, we can celebrate progress that has been made while simultaneously recognizing that there is work yet to do. Frederick Douglass began his 4th of July speech celebrating the work of the founding fathers, their bravery, their courage, their commitment to the ideals of the nation, and yet he reminds his listeners of their own responsibility to act. Now is the time, Douglass said, the important time. Your fathers have lived, died, and have done their work, and have done much of it well. You must live, and you must die, and you must do your work. This weekend, as we celebrate the founding of a nation in which liberty and justice might reign, we acknowledge that these principles are enjoyed most fully by all when they are extended to all. May we as followers of Jesus continue to live into these ideals with gentleness and humility, learning and growing more each day. Amen.